All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is going to be a review for Justice League. The writers are Chris Terrio, Joss Whedon, and Zack Snyder. It stars Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill, Jason Momoa, and Ezra Miller. And the synopsis is, fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally, Diana Prince, to face the even greater enemy. Mike. What are your thoughts?
Don't know how to explain this. I've literally sat here since yesterday, and I still don't know how
to just go from the heart, man.
Explain this to people. That
go for the heart.
This movie had so many problems and was such a mess, but somehow I actually left this movie kind of enjoying the film.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
And I don't know how to explain this because I have so many problems with it, but yet I honestly left out of it and was like, I could watch this again.
It's so bad, it's good.
Well, is it that? Or is it that DC's movies have been so bad that even a clusterfuck is good for them?
No. You had hope, man. You had hope that the direction that they attempted to go in would work. If the direction they went in from the beginning of that film would have worked. At least
it raises the question. It does do that. Because I did go, okay, if Whedon didn't have anything to do with this, and this was a little bit longer to flush out some stories, how good would it have been? Because it had potential.
Whoever the company was told them that they couldn't make a movie longer than 2 hours. Hence why all the cuts.
Well, Warner Brothers did that. And I think that's partially because Batman vs. Superman, albeit got cut short and people still ragged on it and said it was a piece of crap, which it was. But
it's a snooze.
But it was a pacing with Batman vs. Superman. This one, they could have went deeper. And they should have actually went deeper on a lot of things.
The mistakes that DC made with Batman vs. Superman, had they done those mistakes with this, then Justice League would have a discussion of, okay, is Marvel about to have a slight issue moving forward? Because potentially, this could have set DC up very, very well. They're still going to make a shitload of money, easily better than Batman vs. Superman. I've gone as far as to say, I hate the ending of Wonder Woman so much, I think I enjoyed this moment when I got out of that. And that's a bold statement, because I thought Wonder Woman was actually good.
I'm going to say something about that.
For the first time, I think DC made a decent movie, albeit has a lot of issues. And I don't know how that makes any sense, but this is just where I'm at.
No, it makes perfect sense to me.
It makes perfect sense. It
makes perfect sense to me.
So let's go to Keith. Keith.
Being a Superman fanboy, and I enjoyed the movie. There were a crap ton of problems with it. Pacing, it was all over the place. The setup, that first 30 minutes, was all set up for stuff that should have been in other movies. First of all, this movie came out too soon. You needed to have Aquaman, you needed to have a Flash movie before this one came out. But with that said, they handle what they had with genuine care. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think what you're sensing, Mike, with this movie, I felt for the first time that Warner Brothers actually gave a shit about the characters. Superman acted like Superman. Batman, holy crap. I 100% get the thing about Batman now. He basically wasn't doing that much action. He wasn't contributing that much in the fights. But he was the man who had the plan, and it got executed. It's all flawed and convoluted, but the plan got executed, and in the end, everything he plotted out worked.
Exactly.
Wonder Woman was the heart and soul. The Flash was the new kid coming on the block, and Cyborg all broody and everything. But towards the end of that movie, Cyborg started cracking a smile and cracking jokes with the Flash and Superman at the same time. And Aquaman, come on now. I mean, you knew Jason Momoa was going to be a beast when you saw the first image of him. And he proved it correctly. I came away from that saying, okay, this felt to me like the first X-Men movie was that came back Fox put out. It wasn't that.
Strongly disagree.
It was storyline and everything, but it was like the potential was there.
Yeah, I can see that.
It washed away the kind of stigma that I had from those previous films, from, you know, Batman versus Superman. I mean, after watching the Ultimate Cut, I saw what they were trying to accomplish. Watching this, I see exactly what it was that, I mean, because they even addressed some of the things that went on, a lot of the things that went on in that movie. In short, Superman coming back, as they were talking about the whole mother box scenario and everything, Batman clues in, he goes, oh, you know what, we could use it for this. And immediately the characters you think would have a problem with that, he really have like stepped up, and he pushes right back in the face. That was the same vibe I got from the Avengers movie, but in this, it uniformly worked. And the chemistry between all of them was pretty good. Their problems, their pacing problems, their problems with the kind of conflicting visions. But at the same time, I'm on board for the next Man of Steel. I'm on board for the Batman. I can't wait to see the Flash. I'm looking forward to even Cyborg, if he's got one coming out. And Aquaman, definitely. I think Aquaman is the next film coming out.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So, Matt.
All right. So, first of all, I'd like to state that this is a lot better than Superman, Batman versus Superman. I felt it was a step in the right direction. However, I can't help but feel that pacing of it was off. Like, the first 30 to 40 minutes was rather slow. And then all of a sudden, it went off. So much more that they could have done with this. I mean, I would think that they would have learned off the first couple of movies what they did right and wrong. And I don't follow the behind the scenes stuff as much as James and or as much as or Keith. Watching the movie, I can't help but think that a lot of it points to mismanagement behind the scenes.
Yeah, strongly agree.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, just watching the movie, I'm not going into detail with it, but I just can't help but feel that there's mismanagement behind the scenes because the pacing was so off. I mean, overall, I did enjoy myself. I didn't necessarily have to turn my brain off to enjoy it. Although clearly, there wasn't a consistent tone with this movie, but I enjoyed it.
All right, James.
With what Matt said, there are a lot of positives with this movie, but there's also a lot of glaring negatives as well. Did I enjoy the movie? And it was okay. Would I go see it again? I wouldn't pay to see it again. If it was to come on television, I'll see it again. And probably fast forward to the parts that were worthwhile. This movie could have been so much better. You could tell that the direction they wanted to go in at first wasn't a good direction. And then they tried to turn it, which it worked, but it was so obvious that it kind of distracted from the movie itself. And sometimes it seemed forced. Like some of the comedic elements seemed forced. I agree with Keith, but then also I disagree with Keith. I think that some of the characters, they did have some chemistry, but then some of it was just forced. It's not working out. It wasn't organic to me. It was just like, okay, well, we got this short little time frame, so we got something that we need to hurry up and try to get together and try to get a team together and try to build some type of unity, so let's just hurry up and do it. So it was rushed. It could have been done a lot better, but will I see this again? That's it. If I'm not paying for it, I'll watch it again. But there are a lot of negatives with this movie and some positives.
All right. So for me, and you can comment on any of the things that I want to say about this. So from the opening scene, that Henry Cavill jaw.
CG was horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
I mean, he looked like a totally different person. He looked like he was from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah. What was the reason why his
Mission Impossible? He was shooting that movie.
Mission Impossible 6, and he grew a beard for that movie. And when they wanted to do the reshoots, they asked him to cut it, and he said no. He took so long to grow it, and he had to still finish the movie that he wasn't going to shave it off. So they said they would just digitally impose his normal face on his face.
I didn't pay attention that close to it.
No, maybe. It was bad.
Yeah,
I'm glad you didn't pay attention.
The opening scene was terrible. But all right, so I'm gonna get into all my negatives first. So it's very boring for the first hour. So Matt kind of mentioned maybe like the first 30 to 45 minutes. It's really the first hour. Mm-hmm. Nothing really important happens. It's overly sentimental from the beginning, at least from the Superman memorial scene. You have a scene of someone kicking fruit. Like, how is that gangster?
I hate bananas. Fuck bananas. Just kick the fucking bananas over and shit.
It's like, rah! In slow motion. Which is my next problem, is that it's way too much slow motion, way too much speed ramping, way too much CG. That Zack Snyder style of shooting from Sucker Punch to 300 to any other movie that he has done.
It's becoming outdated, man. He needs to change his directorial style.
Other than Dawn of the Dead is bad.
Dawn of the Dead, I don't really think he really used any slow-mo in that. Too often, it was a lot of intense close-ups, like, you know, a lot of action sequences in there. But it was like intense action sequences, like a little bit of shaky cam.
Yeah,
this one, I agree with you. I mean, after a while, even like as a director, I mean, I understand you have your things that are like your trademark. You gotta deviate. You gotta change. You gotta change a little bit. You get stale.
And it's like they overcommitted to the style, and it does not work. So, as everyone else said, there's pacing issues. There's a lot of pacing issues. Again, that first hour, boring.
That first scene, I was just kind of like, when he killed the parademon, and then he's like, Alfred, you see the three symbols? Yeah, it looked like the last one. We need to get the team. I was like, what in the hell? What?
How did they rush the shit out of that, man? They rushed the shit out of that.
It's just like, yeah.
That's not even an event. It's catastrophic enough to warrant getting the Justice League.
Like, I mean, this was Batman
right.
cartoon level of, all right, let's get this done. I'm like, hold on. I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, is that Owlman? Like, who is that? Yeah. Anyway, the Cyborg scene where he's kind of explaining his father-son dynamic probably should have been the opening scene of the movie. They probably should have sent the movie around him because...
I honestly felt like he was one of the strongest characters in the film.
Yeah, I actually liked Cyborg. I actually thought he was going to be the weakest link, but I actually liked
his
portrayal because it was an accurate portrayal of him from the comic. Because in the beginning, when he actually became Cyborg, he was disgruntled as fuck. He was not feeling it because, you know, he was basically... He felt he was a monster. And I think that the character playing Cyborg did a good job in displaying that. And he was brooding more so than Batman was brooding. And Batman's all about brooding and shit, so.
All right, so let me just continue. I'm going to rattle these off.
Okay.
So for me, Batman never seems like the smartest person in the room. There's overuse, huh?
Really?
No.
He basically laid out all of his plans work, dude.
No, it works because the movie has to. It doesn't work because the way Batman is written.
I agree with him.
All right, so the next thing is that there's an overuse of the Wonder Woman wrist clank because it happens way too much in the movie. I think Aquaman's underutilized. And kind of wrapping up some of my statements, I have like maybe like another five statements. My ultimate statement is that how do they mess this up, especially after Wonder Woman? A lot of this reminds me of Thor: The Dark World and Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Right, yep. Definitely see that.
The best way to approach this movie would have been like X-Men First Class, where it's completely competent and compelling. It reuses characters that you already know, presents them in a different fashion, and it's a decent movie. A better storyline, just in general, for any DC movie is the Injustice 1 and 2 video game storyline.
Basically.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor tricks Superman. Superman kills Lois. Goes insane and like this power hungry madness, I need to control the world thing, and it throws a rift between him and Batman. Kind of wrapping some things up, said, I wonder what the state of this movie was before the reshoots, because this must have been a train wreck.
Well, I believe it was, man.
There were a lot of issues, and there's some of them are still going on because Affleck is still already talking about he wants out of the role, which was one issue that came up during filming. And then a Warner Brothers exec went as far as to say that Zack Snyder's vision was not their vision. So neither one of them were on the same page. And that's why they told him to go home. They brought in Whedon and said, we sent Zack home because he's still dealing with the death of his daughter. But apparently there's like a legal embargo or something on Zack Snyder where he can't do interviews about the movie at all. If I'm not mistaken, he wasn't even at the premiere.
And even on top of that, Joss Whedon has a writing credit for the movie.
Right.
And
well, he's come out and said it's still Zack Snyder's film. He's saying he just finished the movie for his friend and did some writing. That's it. That's how he kind of put it. But
that's like rewriting the whole movie in order to get a writing credit. You can be.
Right.
Well, he basically did, because essentially they did enough reshoots. They started reshooting in, I want to say it was either May or June. And normally they say reshoots are only like a couple of weeks. He had reshoots all the way to the end of August. And they never pushed back the release date. Because at that point, I said, okay, well, then you just push back to 2018.
Yeah.
And do the movie right and just get it done.
And they can't hold people on the contract.
There was even a set shot of him building what everybody said appeared to be the Hall of Justice, but it never made the movie. So there's a lot of issues behind the scenes.
Yeah.
One other big problem that they had, and I still haven't figured out who came up with that they should have just went with Steppenwolf. That is one of the worst villains I've ever seen on film.
Agreed. That's why I said, Thor: The Dark World.
He looked like a PS3 graphic, and it just did not make any sense to where I was like,
he was weak as fuck, man.
And it's not a character that
was associated with Dark Side, though.
Right, but they should have just either.
He should have been someone else, I agree.
Either they should have had him build more around why he's there for Darkseid and tease the whole Darkseid thing, kind of like the whole Thanos. We know he's out there. We know he's coming, but you get little tidbits here and there. He shows up and he's like, I want power. We honor you, mother, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it was like, I do this for Darkseid. And that was the only mention until the end of the damn movie.
Right. Exactly.
And that's why I said it reminds me of Thor: The Dark World, because you have the dark elves and that's the focus of the movie. That's the villain. That's who you center the movie around. No. So I'm just going to say some quick positives. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And that Cyborg, Momoa, and Irons are the positives of the movie, if I can say that much. And again, I think Aquaman's underutilized. And I'm going to say a controversial statement, and then we can just kind of get into some general discussion.
I think I know what you're about to do. I think I know what you're about to do.
I think I know what you're going to say, too.
I think I may agree with you, too.
I'm going to say this, and I believe this 100%. Gal Gadot is a very poor choice for Wonder Woman.
Oh, well, that wasn't mine.
Yeah, that wasn't. I didn't think you were going there. I didn't think you were going there at all.
Wonder Woman is part...
Okay, go ahead.
Wonder Woman is part of the command structure of the Justice League. But Gal Gadot is so wooden, and she doesn't carry the ability to be a real leader.
That is true. Okay. Now, see, you know what? Now that you mention it, you have a point. You have a very good point. Because Wonder Woman is so powerful and so, like, she's a leader. She's a leader. But I cannot see Gal Gadot actually leading anything.
How much of it was writing?
Could have been writing. But the thing is,
and Wonder Woman, she was pretty tough, though.
No, I don't know if I say in Wonder Woman, she was pretty tough. She had enough emotion in Wonder Woman where I believe it. But tough, I don't think that's the word I would use. Even if you look at all her roles, tough is one that I think she would have to stretch her acting ability a bit.
But also, you got to remember one thing, Keith. And Wonder Woman, she wasn't tough because you know what? That was like a coming of age. She was still trying to.
She was rookie in that movie.
Who she was. Yeah. She was green as shit. Mm-hmm. And plus, it was also like she had a lot of immaturity. This movie is set
present day.
Present day. So she should be right now. She should be the woman, Wonder Woman that we know. And to me, she's still not filling that role. But they try to explain that she basically kept herself hidden from society after the incidents from Wonder Woman. But still, you didn't grow as a person in 100 years.
Well, that's the point that Bruce made to her, though.
Yeah, and
he basically told her, "Don't talk to me," because you know that happened years ago, and you just vanished.
Basically, and that's why, to me, and by me being a Batman fan, even though Jay was like, "Well, Jay, you didn't like this movie because your boy was getting his ass beat." No, okay, I'm saying this shit now. Is that the reason why? Because to me, I actually like the portrayal of Batman. I think it was a very good portrayal because you know what? He did what Batman does.
I'm confused. What do you mean because he got his ass beat? The ass beat was for a purpose.
Mike, say
yeah, he got dropped by Sue. He wasn't trying to stop
right, that was all like, on purpose. Okay.
Right.
He was the only one with the plan.
Thank you.
Because he's the planner.
That's Keith, like you and I talked earlier. Now you see why I fuck with Batman. He always has a plan. He's always ahead of motherfuckers. He's always outsmarting people.
I wish they would have went more in depth or made it a little bit more obvious. I mean, when Keith was talking about as far as being the psychological planner and all that stuff, you didn't see it as much initially?
Like in Batman versus Superman, I didn't see it. He seemed a little off-putting. In this one, I saw that he had plans for just about every eventuality.
This is what they should have done. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
Well, Superman was dead. He basically said, we're going to do the best we can with what we got. The moment there was an opportunity to bring him back, he was like, we're all in. Damn this, that's the only way we got. And then he had contingency plans for when, if he comes back jacked, if he comes back okay, if there's something wrong with him. He had plans within plans. You could tell he was just going with it. He had other
He was confident. Ways. Everybody else was being a bitch. Let's call it what it is. Well, we don't know. Really? We don't know. No, look, you know what? Like I said, maybe this is why I fuck with Batman so much. It's because the way he thinks is the way I would think. We don't have time to be sitting around here discussing shit and all in your feelings and all. I don't know. You got to take a chance. If you don't take a chance, then there's no chance. So what the fuck are you going to do? Going to sit there and be like, well, you know, it could come back like this. Obviously, if I'm throwing up this plan, I got a backup, baby.
Well, some of the stuff was kind of predictable because I was in the movie theater when he was getting dropped. And I said, just get Lois Lane. It's like because it's the one thing to keep him in check.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of know that.
I was either thinking
that
like,
or his mom.
I thought it was Lois Lane. His mom, or he's gonna pull out some kryptonite. Like, chill.
Right, one of the three.
Yeah.
Like, even at the end with the foreclosure of the house, and he was like, how'd you get it? And I said before, it was like, Bruce bought the bank. I'm like, this is what he does. There ain't no question of how I got back. Like,
well, I'm the bank.
starting to tell Keith was what they should have done. Batman versus Superman, they had a little bit of framework of Bruce was getting files on everyone with the idea of get a team together. And in this movie, had they flushed it out more, they should have shown where he kind of had the plan set, like, this is what we're going to do to get everybody together and then move forward as a team.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just, like I said, parademon on the wall, three symbols, hey, Alfred, we need to get the team together. And then I'll show up, look for Aquaman, just out of nowhere.
Right. Like I said, the pacing of this movie destroys this movie.
You can tell that they threw a movie together to make a release date.
Yeah, it's out of order. If it had proper order, and I agree with you, Barry, if they would have started off with Cyborg story in the beginning, that would have worked out because you don't know much about Cyborg. There was no origin movie. I mean, you don't need an origin movie, but you can at least lead the audience to know more about him. They start with The Flash and Cyborg in the beginning. Everyone else you already know about.
Cyborg's story would have worked a lot better because, one, it would have had heart to start the movie off with. Two, he's built off the mother box, which is the one thing everybody's focused on.
Exactly.
So you automatically explain to us what that is, and then when the other two show, we go, oh, it goes with what he got. All right, makes sense. Mm-hmm. As opposed to three symbols on a wall, and then later on, it's like, all right, these three mother boxes come together to destroy the Earth.
And the thing I did like, Batman kind of already heard out because, like, in the very beginning, he basically used the fucking criminal as bait.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on already. And then I guess once he saw the symbol, he was like, okay, well, the invasion is here. Let's get the team together. I'm like, dude, you should have been got the team together.
Right.
Well, that's very un-Batman-like of you.
As far as Aquaman, did any of y'all feel like he was like Aqua Bro?
He was.
Pretty much. Yeah. Again, he's underutilized.
He was a surfer dude.
He was supposed to be the quote-unquote bad boy of the crew, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Was he? Was he that way in the comic book? I have no idea.
To me, Aquaman is written about. Yeah, he's kind of written like Thor, the way you look at him, you go, all right, this dude ain't for real. And then he does stuff where you're like, all right, maybe he is kind of thorough.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're talking about like the Golden Age of comics, then he'll be riding two dolphins.
Yeah, nah. Ain't nothing thug about him at all.
Now, we're talking about now when we had our discussion about, you know, Superman, the I don't talk to fish Aquaman. Yeah, that's how Aquaman is. I don't know about the bro thing, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know about the drinking whiskey and all that kind of crazy stuff that he was doing.
Aquaman's a badass, man. He's a badass.
Was he supposed to be like a majestic character?
Was he what?
A majestic character.
He should be, but the way that he has been written in the comic books, he's not like that all the time.
Okay.
He is a ruler of Atlantis. So.
I mean, because if you look at some of the DC movies, he's written not slightly regally, but he's smug. He's a smug ruler for anyone that is not Atlantean.
Right. He's all about Atlantis. To be honest with you, he's with the Justice League for Atlantis. He's not worried about the surface world like that.
And they went opposite with the movie because in this, he basically was kind of caring like he'd give a damn about everything else and I'm not fighting. And it wasn't until Mira said something to him that all of a sudden he showed up.
Yeah. I don't know the story of Aquaman like that, but Mira's his girl, right? Watson didn't even know each other. And like his mom adopted her.
Yeah, that didn't make sense either.
That's kind of incestuous, ain't it? Because aren't they supposed to be...
That like, ends up being his queen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That was a badass queen, though. Do you know why they picked November 17th for the release date?
That was always the original release date.
But do you know
why? They picked that like over a year ago. Oh, I don't know why they picked that exact date.
It was the 25th anniversary of Death of Superman comic. That was one of the reasons why they rushed it.
Oh, well, they should have done Batman vs. Superman on that day then, if you're going to do the anniversary of the death of Superman.
Right. He dies in the end of the movie. That would have worked out better.
Okay, so like, if that's the case, then this kind of segues into something that's been gnawing at me for a while with DC, the DC Cinematic Universe. There is no cohesive vision.
No.
For this thing. At all. I mean, come on.
Except for the visual style, because the visual style is Zack Snyder, regardless of who the director is.
Yeah. That hasn't changed. I mean, even though they did try to write it up, it was still dark.
They need a franchise runner, someone to run this whole franchise. Like, they need one person.
That's just it.
They need the Kevin Feige, but they don't have it.
They don't have it. Because right now,
Joss Whedon's not going
to do it. Yeah, Whedon's not going to do it. Affleck's already talking about he wants out the role. No.
Ben Affleck's talking about leaving Batman. They're talking about getting Jake Gyllenhaal possibly. I'm like, no.
Man, I don't think Joss Whedon wants to be doing another 3-4 movies.
Yeah, I don't think
spending his life for that.
Well, he's going to do that Batgirl movie because it's interesting, but other than that, he's
Batgirl?
Like,
yeah, he wants to do Batgirl, but he said after Avengers Age of Ultron that he didn't want to do it anymore because it basically encompassed his whole life doing everything.
Yeah.
All the way through promoting and all that, and he just didn't enjoy it the second time around. And it shows in the quality of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
think Disney put in a lot of restrictions. So it was just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. And around that time, it was that whole Kevin Feige was beefing with the other guy who was the head of Marvel.
And
Marvel Studios. Mm-hmm. So they were beefing and stuff, and Josh was one of the casualties. So
I wish they would have went with the black Superman suit.
I thought they were going to do that. It's a couple of things I wish they had done. I wish they would have done that, and I also wish they would have had a bigger Easter egg about the Green Lanterns, because to me, that was your greatest opportunity. And I had conversations with Jay about that before the movie came out. I said, if they really want this to work, then you put Green Lantern in there some way, somehow. I don't care if it's post-credit scene, whatever. You stick it in there. Not just a ring falling off a dead person in a flashback scene flying off to whoever. That don't work. I don't need that.
You need more than that.
You literally should have had Hal Jordan. Morph
was a Green Lantern holder? No. Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah.
When they were talking about Steppenwolf in the battle when everybody united, they had a lantern that he got killed by Steppenwolf and the ring came off and it flew off towards the screen.
They had a couple of lanterns, I think. I could have sworn I see at least three.
Yeah, it was two lanterns. Yeah. That's a whole pretty bunch good of Easter eggs.
They had fucking Hercules in there, or Zeus, or somebody.
Hercules was in there, and mention of the gorilla language.
Yeah, Gorilla Grodd.
On one of the backgrounds, I think it's where the Batman light was in the sky. I saw it on a website. On the back of it was Ace Chemicals, which is the same chemicals that Joker was immersed in.
Yeah.
Honestly, it feels like DC's just sat back and watched Marvel, and they've tried to recreate it and just done a very poor job of doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're
trying to
retrofit
an idea. And as Keith was saying, that there should have been some prequel movies. I think this movie could have learned a lot from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a prequel. You know the characters, so you just go with it.
I agree with Keith. They could have used an origin movie, but I agree with you also, Bear. They didn't really need to, but they could have added more in this movie. A backstory on the Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg. Just a little bit more.
Again, I say this damn near every podcast about superheroes, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it till the day I die. DC has no excuse because you have three of the most recognizable superheroes ever in existence.
That's true.
The movie shouldn't have focused on any of those three.
Basically, you show someone the Batman symbol, Wonder Woman symbol, or Superman symbol.
They know.
They understand.
Right. Cyborg, Flash, Aquaman, I get if somebody doesn't know.
Right. Under the top three, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, Green Lantern symbol is also recognizable as well.
Yeah. On the Marvel side, you show someone Spider-Man symbol, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else.
X-Men symbol, they got it.
Yeah. That's about it.
I never thought I was
going to
say this shit.
Hey, Jay.
Superman was a goddamn G in this movie. For the first time, for him existing. This is the first time I actually, I was actually becoming a fanboy of Superman.
When he came back, that fight scene was.
But then he fucked it up. He was chilling. He was like, all right, looking all swollen shit. He was like, yeah, I'm here. What's going on? Everybody was all calm and chill. Cyborg shit started fucking up, which that does happen from time to time. That was the most gangster shit I ever seen from Superman ever. Like, he bitched everybody in the Justice League. And the thing is, I do not like Superman, but I will always give him credit for him being powerful. He's just dumb as fuck. But this time, he showed out and showed the fuck up. I mean, when the Flash was going to try to sneak him, look like, I was like, okay, Flash, all right. I mean,
I thought that was pretty iconic.
He turned his eye and looked at him. Flash was like, you see what's about to happen right now? Oh, shit. Superman was the shit. And then when he came back to his senses, when the fight was Steppenwolf, he had to come down, I believe in justice, and then punched him. He could just snuck his ass, man. He reverted back to the pussy shit.
Oh, wait, no. He sucker punched him first, though.
Gangsta shit?
Wait, but he did sucker punch him first. No, he hovered down
and said, yes, I believe in justice, and then punched his ass.
That was after he nailed him. He hit him three times.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Can someone confirm this? Because I remember him hovering down, and then he had to say some corny shit, fuck up my whole outlook of him. Because I literally was just like, I can't believe this. Superman's a goddamn monster. in this. Who wrote this shit? This must be Josh Whedon.
Let me just say something. That whole scene.
That was all Whedon.
If you take that out, that's 10 minutes of the movie.
That was Josh Whedon. And I was like, you know what, Keith? You had me contemplating. Maybe I was a little bit too hard on, you know, Superman. Maybe he's not that bad. But then he comes up with that corny ass line. He's fine stepping with it. I was like, nope, I was totally right.
But at the end of the day, honestly, that's him. And Whedon wrote it that way, and it was like, all right, you wrote a true character.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the part where he saved the, I like the little quip, the little bit with Flash and Superman.
When they save the people.
Flash saves the truckload of people. Oh, that's nice. And he just looks over and the dude, he's just see a flying apartment building.
And well, you know what? Like, I'm going to say something that, you know.
Let me just say something like right quickly. The only memorable line I remember from Superman is when he said, you won't let me live, and you won't let me die. To Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing I remember. Everything else is just, yeah.
I will say this. Barry had his unpopular opinion. I'm going to have mine right now. I'm going to say it. The Flash was kind of getting on my goddamn nerves after a while.
It's the comedy in the movie.
They tried to make him too much like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He seemed like a fake Tom Holland to me.
After a while, it was cool. Like, cause the Flash is kind of like that. But the Flash knew when to get serious. When shit got real. This one, he was just like, I don't know. And I was just like,
isn't he like he's being that they're introducing him?
But no, but see, I'm about to bring that up, Matt. I'm glad you said that. Because, you know, that just shows the character's inconsistency. Because you remember in Suicide Squad, he took out Captain Boomerang like it was nothing. Like, he was just used to the shit. This one, he was like a little gun-shy about everything. I never saved anyone. But yet, you were a crime fighter in fucking Suicide Squad. You were seasoned.
Well, wait a minute. So that brings up a question. So does that mean that the timeline is off of DC? Does that mean the Suicide Squad technically takes place after this?
No, because remember, in Suicide Squad, that's when he went to Amanda Waller to get more information on people he was recruiting.
No, but what I'm saying is, oh, yeah. All right, I got you.
So basically, what that was, was a consistent character development.
Correct.
Yeah.
So DC has dropped the ball.
DC, the Beast Gang is available. You can hire us to straighten your ship.
The Injustice video game has been out for several years. Please use that storyline.
That storyline, goddamn amazing.
I mean, I was in that joint. I was like, oh my God. Like just Batman.
Just watching the cinematic movie of the game is better than the Justice League movie.
I watched that because Jay told me to watch it. And I was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? They made their animated or their video games into a movie. It's a wrap.
All I do just follow the goddamn video game, baby.
And on top of that, it's super serious. It's super serious that this is kind of the way Batman v Superman was intended to be. But if you take that storyline as is, it is great. You would make billions of dollars off of it. But instead, you make $96 million.
They're still going to make a ton of money because it's already projected to make almost $400 million worldwide off the first weekend.
Right.
So, what has it made so far?
It made 96.
Domestic only counts for like worldwide sales.
So foreign, it's 185 million.
It failed.
185 million. So to date, it's 281.5.
Wait, what failed? Justice League failed?
Well, I think it failed for a simple fact. You want to take Thor out the number one spot.
Well, it will.
I'm talking about overall. Still not number one.
It wasn't going to beat Thor.
I mean, like, Thor combined right now is $738 million worldwide.
Yeah, you're not going to hit that. Now, they're hoping to get Wonder Woman numbers, of course.
And what is that, Wonder Woman numbers?
Well, Wonder Woman was $400 million in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken.
So Mike is correct. So basically, it's $412 million domestic, $409 million foreign. So it's $821 million.
800. Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad.
But it's good for DC standards. Because remember, look at it like this. If you're making a crappy movie and you're making almost a billion, what does a good movie do? But they don't care because the money's still coming back. True. But like I said, this is the thing that
Warner Brothers is like that.
This thing that pisses me off with them, though, is it still doesn't make sense. For instance, Avengers Infinity War, I have without no doubt that it's going to look like it should because Marvel's spending $1 billion on two movies because they already know that we're going to get it back. Spend the money. What's the problem? If you make a good movie,
spend the money.
They're trying to maximize their profits.
Like people have, look, again, Avatar to me is one of the crappiest pieces of shit ever made.
Yes.
But visually, overrated. I know people that went to see that four times because visually they were just so stunned.
That movie is horrible.
Yeah, just I didn't.
Spend the money.
Very fond of it.
Spend the money.
Spend the money. All right, so let's move on to the questions. So I know we kind of somewhat answered this, but just quick yes or no, is it better than Batman v Superman?
Hell yes.
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 And I'm going to say maybe.
Even the ultimate cut.
Definitely better than Suicide Squad. Next two questions is that, does this movie have you looking forward to future DC movies, which I think some people had kind of answered, and where does it leave the DCEU or lack thereof? I think they're dissolving the whole thing in the first place, so.
Kind of excited, but because of the poor reception, I'm almost positive Warner Brothers is going to try to interfere and try to make some additional changes rather than let the changes they've already done kind of take fruition. So,
anyone else?
I don't know. I'm just kind of still in a wait and see mode because this movie was better than Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman, but it still wasn't that good enough to give me that much hope. So I'm gonna wait and see. Wait and see mode right now and just see how there's so many positives and there's so many negatives with this. If they take the positives and push forward, then yes, to be honest with you, and I'm probably the only one that's probably fun to say this, but I was actually impressed with Cyborg. I was actually impressed with Cyborg.
No, he was arguably my favorite character out of the movie.
He's the only character that has any complexity to him.
Everyone else was just kind of just thrown in there.
He had substance.
And everyone else was just thrown in there. I look forward to that, but that's like, what, 2 years from now, maybe?
Yeah, that's a ways off. You still got Shazam and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. It has to be a balancing act. And from what I've seen from the last couple of movies, either gone, in my opinion, a little bit too extreme on the comedy, and they just didn't balance it out. You got to balance out, like I said, mentioned before, with Thor Ragnarok, I liked the movie, but it was just a little bit too much comedy for me at times. You got to find the happy medium. You got to find that gray area. Stay there. And this one, I think the Flash was just a little bit too much. And he did have the Flash characteristics because the Flash is actually like that. But like I said, there's times when the Flash knew when to get serious. To me, in this, he was always cracking jokes. Always.
All right. So my last question is about the end credit scenes. And do the end credit scenes help the movie or the universe?
The Superman Flash one just sets a tone that they're going to go more lighter tone and a little bit more fun moving forward, I think.
End credit scene, I actually liked. I
like
that.
I like
that. That was cool.
I liked it because it was like, that's iconic. That was the thing with the Flash and the Superman.
The second one is Luthor's apparently broken out of prison, and then Deathstroke shows up on his yacht and he tells him we should get his team of villains together.
I didn't even see that.
Which is like,
yeah,
it really wasn't worth it, but yeah.
Here's my thing with DC. I'm going to say this again. The Beast Gang is available for contracting opportunities. Like, it's straighten out the ship.
Basically.
We're not going to cost that much. We'll split the money. We'll be good. Just make sure we get a lot of Twitter shout outs. We're on the red carpet. You give credit where credit's due because clearly you need some help.
I'm a genius behind the camera.
We shouldn't hear nothing about Aquaman being reshot because the movie's done. So leave it as is. Don't fuck with it.
Let's try to wrap it up a little bit. Mike, wrap up thoughts on the score.
Again, many problems, but some bright spots. My score right now is at a 7, mainly because I didn't think DC could actually do this. I expected this movie to be the most complete piece of crap that I've ever seen, and just me shaking my head and saying, just stop making movies.
Oh, shit.
Seriously, just stop making them. Just bow out. Marvel's whooping your ass as usual and just don't do anything further. But if they can fix the problems that they have, then potential is there that they could actually get something going.
So, Keith.
I was entertained by the film. I like Superman, like characterizations, like the actors, but there was a ton of problems. And honestly, I'm kind of thinking like, I'll probably watch it again just because I missed like the first 10 minutes of it. But after that, I don't know. So I'll give this movie a 7 as well. I was one of the few people who on the Beast Game actually liked Batman vs. Superman, especially the director's cut.
Well, I like director's cut.
The director's cut made sense.
And especially the director's cut. This, I'm hopeful for the future, but at the same time, I'm not hopeful for what Warner Brothers is doing. And it's unfortunate that Ben Affleck's trying to get out. Kind of, he sold me right now on being Batman. They need one person. They need to hire one man whose job is to oversee what is going on in the DC cinematic universe.
I'm like, yo, this you got a ton of writers.
It's terrible.
You own DC Comics, Warner Brothers.
And the thing is, I think the reason why some of Warner Brothers films sneaking under the radar and do well is because they don't attract the attention of the executives like this. Some boardroom is directing these movies. It's pitiful. Like, they need to stop. They need one unified vision for this, and they can fix it. Because you got the talent for it. I mean, you got the talent. I mean, the characters are there, laid out, and now you just make the movie. I give it a 7. Justice League was good. It's not as good as I'd hoped it would be, but it was still an entertaining film to watch. And thankfully, Joss Whedon came in and helped, but unfortunately, he couldn't work miracles.
All right, Matt.
Movie had a lot of potential to be something great, or at least right the ship. One thing I will say is that it is taking a step, not a lot of them, but it is taking a step towards the right direction. And despite the pacing issues with it, I'm glad that they made some of the revisions, because I could only assume how bad the movie would have been. We would have had like a Batman versus Superman 2 type of theme. And other than that, I mean, I really enjoyed myself with the movie, despite all the errors, the CG stuff, etc. I'm looking forward to future DC movies. Give it a solid 7.
Jay?
I'll give this movie a 6. And the reason why I give it a 6 is because there were a lot of negatives in this movie. I mean, there were some positives, but there was a lot of negatives. And Joss Whedon came in and he resolved some of the problems, but not everything. He's not a miracle worker. And if he didn't do what he did, this movie would probably have been worse than Suicide Squad, in my opinion. It was entertaining, but then at times it just seemed it was forced, it was rushed. Everything was just like, let's just hurry up and get it done. It was evident. It was very evident. It showed that they had no clear-cut path of what they wanted to do with the whole Justice League as a whole. The story was weak. Plot was weak. The villain was weak. CG was ridiculous. Even the fight scenes weren't that great. Nothing really memorable in my eyes except for Superman's awakening. And that hurts me to my heart to say that shit, but I gotta be real. So there was nothing that I could say that was like, oh, wow, outside of the Superman awakening scene, that I can name some scenes that I'm like, yeah, you remember that? Yeah, everybody remembers that. There's nothing memorable about this. One of the main positives I will give this movie is that I like the portrayal of all the characters. I mean, even though some were lacking, like I believe that Wonder Woman, she did not show leadership skills, which she should be. She should have them by now, I would assume so.
I'm just saying the Justice League hierarchy.
Wasn't she by herself for a while, though?
From a comic book standpoint, a comic book movie standpoint, The hierarchy of the Justice League is equal. When Batman says something, when Superman says something, or when Wonder Woman says something, it is equal.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, it does not seem like that. For Wonder Woman, in particular.
Oh, hell no. She had the most knowledge of what Steppenwolf was all about. But yet, she was doubting herself. Like, you know what this thing or man could do. You know why he's here. Why are you hesitating? What's the problem? Why are you gun-shy? Batman was trying to push her into the leadership role, got all in her feelings and shit. He's basically being Batman asshole, which he is. That's what he does.
All right, James, I'm going to cut you off about Batman.
I wasn't going to go on the team.
Well,
I guess we'll be a 6.
Yeah, let me give my score. So I think we all generally gave Suicide Squad maybe around a 3. So you have Suicide Squad at a 3. Batman v Superman, train wreck. It's slightly better than Suicide Squad. That gets a 4. We didn't reveal it on the podcast, but it gets a 4. At least the theatrical version. This movie gets a 4.5. This movie has a lot of problems. James kind of highlighted a lot of those. The story, the visuals, the acting. It's a lot. Having said those first two movies, Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman, I went in thinking that this is going to be terrible. Regardless of what reviews were out at the time, how much I avoided the movie, I was expecting a very terrible movie, something worse than that, and I did not get that. And again, it gets a 4.5. Close to a 5, but still not the movie that it could have been. Because again, taking into account X-Men First Class, where you know these characters, here's another scenario for them, that movie works. the movie, even though it was probably being shot around the same time, could have learned a lot from Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, you were just thrown into the mix with those characters. It works. This one, would I watch it again? Maybe the last hour. Definitely not the first hour, because nothing really happens.
Exactly. That's why I said, if I was to watch it, I'll fast forward to, like, a good part in the movie.
But we'll just wrap it up. And that's the Beast Game Podcast. You can find more of our podcasts at beastgame.com. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
No, how did I forget that Superman asked Batman, do you bleed? That was kind of hardcore.
That's what I said. He was gangster. Man, when he said that shit, I was like, this.
Well, Mike, the reason why you forgot it, because the movie's ultimately forgettable.
Dude, sometimes, dude, it just sounds like you just like you just hate that. You found one thing you don't like, you just like.